All right, okay. What is up, everybody? It's LJ Talks Facts right here. Gonna spit some facts, like always, of course. Hope you guys are enjoying your Tuesday morning so far. I'm doing pretty good. Doing pretty good right here so far. Hope you guys are doing well. So I did tell you guys yesterday I was gonna talk about my New York Islanders and my Brooklyn Nets and how they're doing so far this season. You know, my Islanders are halfway through the season. They've played 41 games. So far, we have a record, I believe it's 22-17-2, if I'm not mistaken. I'm going to pull up their record right now. Yep, 22-17-2. They are tied with Pittsburgh for 46 points. But Pittsburgh is ahead of us in the playoffs right now. They have the last wild card spot. Obviously, that could change tonight if the Islanders beat the Stars. And if the Penguins lose to the Canucks, I'll be at the Islanders game tonight against the Stars. And I'll be there Thursday against the Wild. And, you know, my Brooklyn Nets, they are 27-13. So they have played 40 games so far this year. They've had a really good season, honestly, after all the bullshit happened. All the bullshit that happened to start the season. They've really pulled through. You know, I do believe both of my teams right here will make the playoffs. But there are a lot of steps along the way right here for them to get to the playoffs. Because right now the Nets, we'll start off with the Nets. They right now are in second place in the Eastern Conference. Second place, obviously, in the Atlantic Division. They're a game and a half behind Boston. Their next game actually is against Boston on Thursday at the Barclays Center. You know, and now Kevin Durant's hurt because he suffered an MCL sprain back on Sunday against the Miami Heat after Jimmy Butler fell on him. I mean, personally, I feel like KD should have been pulled after he collided with Kyle Lowry. I mean, yeah, he was fine, but I think I would have pulled him right then and there because he was getting beat up in that game. And you got to give the Miami Heat a lot of credit, you know. They're an aggressive team. Their record, well, I think they're 20-20, I believe their record is. Like, they could be better than what their record is. They were, you know, in the conference. They were in the Eastern Conference Finals last year against Boston. They went 7 games with the Celtics. Got to give them a lot of credit there. I feel like they could be better, but they played hard against us, you know. It's a real shame to see KD go down. I mean, when Butler fell on him, I was like, holy shit. And when he started limping KD, I was like, not again, not again. After what happened last year against New Orleans, after Bruce Brown actually just like bumped into him, and I don't know what it was. I don't think it was an MCL sprain. I think it was something else. And he was out for 2 months. But they said KD will get reevaluated in 2 weeks, so he's going to miss the rest of the month. So this is who the Nets play the rest of the month. They're home against the Celtics, home against OKC, on the road against San Antonio, Phoenix, Utah, and Golden State, and Philly. So that's a big road trip right there. And they're back home against Detroit, and they're home against the Knicks, and home against the Lakers. So there are a lot of winnable games right here. Boston could be a winnable game because Boston plays tomorrow against New Orleans. So it's the second half of back-to-back. They could be a little bit tired. They're going to come to play, obviously, whether they win or lose tomorrow. They're going to come to play. We already know that. But that's a huge game for the Nets right there. Without KD, first game without KD, if you can knock off Boston somehow, that'd be huge. Win's a win. Doesn't matter if they're tired or not. A win's a win. The Nets are going to be fully rested. The last game is back on Sunday, so obviously they had a day off yesterday, and they got the day off today, and a day off tomorrow, so they're getting some rest, which is perfect. And even after they play Boston, they get 2 days off, so that's great. You're getting some nice rest before you get to the road trip. But there are a lot of winnable games, like I said. Boston right now is a winnable game because it's the second half of back-to-back. OKC's a winnable game, but they're a tricky team. You know, they dropped 150 on Boston, and then I think they lost the Magic the next night. They're a weird team. San Antonio, we've already beaten. Phoenix is very overrated. You should beat them. Utah's tricky. They're a tricky team, honestly. This kid Markkanen, man. I always liked him out in Chicago, and him in Utah right now, he's been pretty good. They built up a pretty decent squad out there after getting rid of Gobert and Mitchell. Golden State's going to be tricky because I think Klay Thompson's coming back soon. I think Curry is supposed to be back as well pretty soon. So they're tricky as well, even though we did beat them, you know, last month. If they get those two guys back, I don't know. Philadelphia, I think they're very overrated. I think they could beat them. Detroit, it'll be a second half of back-to-back, which is kind of like how the Utah game's a second half of back-to-back. But I think the Nets can beat Detroit. They've already done it before. The Knicks, you know, even though the Knicks haven't beaten us in quite a while, it's still a rivalry game. I'm not going to take it lightly. But I think the Nets should win that one too. And the Lakers, that's a tricky one. In the last couple years, we have been splitting the season series with the Lakers. So they obviously did beat us back in November. So it would be nice to get redemption on January 30th against them. You know, we're not getting KD versus LeBron. We haven't seen KD versus LeBron since 2018. I believe since the finals. It's a real shame. We haven't been able to see KD versus LeBron since he's been in Brooklyn. It's been a real shame. Just haven't been able to see that matchup. It's a real, real shame. And I think with KD going forward, so he'll get reevaluated in 2 weeks. So he'll get reevaluated on the 30th. That's 2 weeks away. He got evaluated, obviously, yesterday. They said it's an MCL sprain. So he gets reevaluated on the 30th. If he's cleared, I don't think he would play against the Lakers. But he probably would play against Boston. Because the next game after the Lakers will be the Celtics on February 1st. I think KD needs to go on a minutes restriction for a few games, honestly. And you got to rest him some games. I know he wants to win MVP. You could see it in his eyes. He's determined to win MVP. I want him to win MVP so badly here in Brooklyn. With the stats that he's putting up at his older age right now, he doesn't look like his age. What was he, like 33, 34? He doesn't play like that. He plays like prime KD. He really does. He still does. You know, this team has a lot of potential to go very far. And it's not because they have KD and Kyrie. It's not because of that at all. A lot of other guys have been able to step it up. It's been that next man up mentality. You know, the Nets have been able to step it up this year. You know, Jock Vaughn, he stepped it up. After Steve Nash got fired, Jock Vaughn was the interim head coach until they said Ime Udoka was coming here. But then the whole shit that went on with him in Boston, the Nets kind of like pulled out of it. They made Jock Vaughn the permanent head coach, and it's worked. Some people criticized Vaughn in the beginning, you know, with some of the moves he was making, the rotations he was doing. Listen, you got to give the guy time. He's officially the head coach. You got to give him time. You know, back in 2020, I remember when they were in the bubble, the Nets, I think it's like a month before they resumed action, they were talking about, oh, Jock Vaughn might be the next permanent head coach for the Nets, and I liked it. Because that was the rumor at the time. I was like, oh, I'm fine with that. I'm totally fine with that. Because Jock Vaughn really pushed the Nets hard. He really pushed them hard. Like the two games before the season got canceled, back in March of 2020, when they played the Bulls and the Lakers, I was at that game against the Bulls. They played hard. Played hard defense. They were great on offense. Against the Lakers, same thing. The same thing. And, of course, then the whole season got, you know, canceled because of COVID. So we didn't see the NBA for, it was like 4 months, I believe. And when the Nets came back, you know, they played great. I mean, yeah, they got swept by Toronto in the first round, but they played good basketball overall. They really did. Jock Vaughn made them work. He made them work. And I wanted him to stay as the head coach. Either him or go after a veteran type of head coach that knows what the fuck he's doing. When they hired Nash, I mean, I thought he was a great basketball mind. He's a two-time MVP. He knows the game. Okay, let's see what he can do. It just didn't work. Didn't work at all. I don't think they respected him out there. But you could tell they respect Jock Vaughn. You know, he's quick out there. If he sees something's wrong with the Nets, he calls timeout. He's quick. He's not going to let us get into a funk. That's what I love about him. So the Nets started the season off 2-5. Ever since he's been the head coach, so they were 2-5 when he stepped in. Now they're 27-13. So they're 25. They are 25-8, I believe. Yeah, 25-8 since he stepped in. I know he had the interim title for a couple games, but ever since he's really stepped in, they're 25-8. That's really good. That is really good. And you could say, well, it's all KD, it's all Kyrie, but like I said, other guys have stepped up as well. I mean, Simmons. I don't know what to say about Simmons, honestly. He had that nice couple-game stretch in November against fucking, who was it, Portland and Memphis. I thought, oh, maybe he's back. Maybe Simmons is going to go off now. He does the same shit every game. Drives up. He goes to half court. Then he stops, pass the ball. Then he doesn't do anything. He's afraid to dunk. Drive in the fucking paint. You are a big man. You're almost 7 foot tall. Like, what is wrong with Ben Simmons? Does he not want it bad enough? Because now Simmons is no longer number three right now because KD's hurt. He's number two. He's going to be that number two guy. I mean, can somebody teach this guy to shoot? I mean, Jesus Christ, De'Ron Sharp is making threes. That guy's not afraid to shoot. I know he barely plays. He's been in, like, you could say, garbage time or whatever. But this guy's shooting threes. He's making them. Doesn't matter if it's in garbage time. He's still making these threes. He's making more threes than Ben Simmons. He's not afraid to shoot the ball. I wish Sharp would play a lot more, honestly, because the Nets do need a backup center. I want to see Sharp play more. But he's not afraid to shoot threes. What's Simmons' excuse? You know, Simmons is just, he's not the same player he used to be in Philly. In Philly, he was fucking dominant. I think his defense is still good. His defense has been good with the Nets. I shouldn't say I think, like it has been. His defense has been very good. Offense-wise, he sucks. He's such a liability. He is such a liability on the offense. He really is. He really, really is. I mean, he's had some nice moments this season. I'm not going to deny that. But I don't think he wants it bad enough. I don't think he does. You could say, oh, he's still recovering from his injury. Okay, so when he dominated against Portland, when they were in Portland, what's the excuse then? Oh, he just had a really good game. He did, yeah. So where's that energy? And he had some balls telling KD to shoot the ball. Like, Simmons, do you remember what you did against Atlanta in Game 7 in June of 2021 when you didn't dunk the ball over fucking Trae Young and you cost your team that series? Come on. Don't tell KD to shoot the ball. Who the fuck are you to tell KD to shoot the ball? Seriously. Like, you should know your place right there. Come on. If I was KD, I would have told him to shut the fuck up. Like, all right, Simmons, okay. You're telling me to shoot the ball. All right, how about when I give you the ball, you shoot it? Yeah. What are you going to do? You're going to fucking pass it. Come on. Jesus Christ. He just doesn't look motivated when he's out there, Simmons. He really doesn't. Looks like he doesn't care. I hate to even say that. You know, because he's on my team. He automatically gets my love. You're on my team. If you're on the team I support, you automatically get my love. Everybody on this team has my love. You know, I could say as much shit about them, but I still love them because they're on my team. They're on the team I support. So they automatically get my love, even if they fucking suck. You're still part of the team I support, so you automatically have my love right there. Automatically. I just want to see Simmons do more, honestly. I really do. I want to see him do more. Now he's that number two guy. You gotta step it up, man. Please. Somebody's gotta motivate this kid. He's still a kid. He's still very young. I want to see Philly Ben Simmons. Somebody's just gotta get in his ear and say, listen, you gotta be confident. You gotta go in there and be confident. Just go in there, drive into the paint, draw fouls. Get better with your free throws too, because his free throws are not good either. That's another. That's been... Throughout his whole career, he's been terrible with free throws. That's always been the thing. So that's not just the thing that started here in Brooklyn. He's never been good from the free throw line. But somebody's got to help him. There's nobody in this organization that can motivate him. Jock Vaughn should motivate him. I mean, I think he's definitely trying. I don't think it's working. I mean, Jesus Christ, when Jock Vaughn speaks, you could tell, like, he's motivated as it is. And you can see the other guys, it seems like, except Simmons, just isn't feeling it. Does he not want to be here? And just say that. Just say that. If you don't want to be with the Nets, then just say it. Nobody's forcing you to stay here. I mean, come on. You know, we're trying to win a championship here. That's every team's goal. But this is the fourth try for the Nets with KD and Kyrie. You know, Kyrie's in a contract year. Is he going to stay with the Nets? I don't know. I don't know if the Nets are even going to re-sign him. After the whole thing that happened back in October, I don't know if they're going to re-sign him. Joseph Tye might say, I don't want to re-sign you after what you did. If he's going to use that as leverage on him, then what the fuck? I mean, I wouldn't blame Kyrie then. If fucking Joseph Tye uses that on Kyrie when it comes to free agency, says, I don't want to pay you after what you did, I wouldn't blame Kyrie. I'd get the fuck out of there too. You know, and it's been, and speaking of Kyrie, you know, he's been playing great basketball. He's been pretty healthy too since he's come back from suspension. I think he's only missed like one game. I think it was like back to back, so he missed one game. It was against the Pacers. Yeah, it was against the Pacers in Indiana, where the Nets had nobody in that game, and they somehow still won, which was incredible. But yeah, I mean, listen, and here's the funny thing about how fickle Net fans were. Like, when Kyrie was suspended, and I'll give this kid Edmund Sumner a lot of credit. He is a gritty basketball player. Very gritty basketball player. I like him. I like Edmund Sumner. Very, very good pickup. People were saying they'd rather him over Kyrie. Tell me you don't watch basketball without telling me you don't watch basketball. You're telling me you would take Edmund Sumner over Kyrie Irving. Are you kidding me? So, okay. So, against Toronto last month, December 16th, Kyrie hits that game-winning shot. You're telling me you'd rather Sumner in that spot? You're telling me you'd want Sumner in that spot? One, Sumner's not making that three because he's better from the corner. If you watch the games, he's a great corner three-point shooter, just like Yuta Watanabe is. That's where you want those two guys in that spot. See how you, if you watch the games, you learn a little bit about these players? It's fascinating, isn't it? So, Sumner would not make that shot, because a lot of people said they would take Sumner over Kyrie when Sumner was playing in Kyrie's spot when he was suspended. And seriously? Come on. So you're telling me Edmund Sumner is making that three against Toronto? Come on. Come on. Don't even kid yourself. Don't even kid yourself. He wouldn't even have the ball on that possession. KD would have the ball. But KD was unselfish, though, in that spot, you know, saying they should run the play for Kyrie because he was going to get doubled, KD. And when Kyrie hit that game-winning shot, I couldn't believe it. I was like, holy shit. That was a crazy game against Toronto. I will admit that. That was a really good game. That was a really, really good game. And when he hit that shot, Kai, I was like, wow. Just wow. And listen, it's been fun watching the Nets. It's been extremely fun watching this team. You know, Nicholas Claxton has been fucking awesome this year. He is definitely up there for Defensive Player of the Year. I think in multiple games this year, he's had 6-plus blocks. I don't know if he's averaging like 3 a game, something like that. 6-plus blocks in a couple games this year. In multiple games. That's incredible. You know, I liked Claxton when the Nets got him. And when he was playing back in his rookie season, I saw a lot of potential in him. I was like, you know, I like this kid. I want to see him play more. He's had a little bit of his injury problems. Not like last year, but like his rookie year and his second year, he was a little bit on and off. But he's been very consistent, you know, last year and this year. You know, he's going to get some big money in the future, honestly. He keeps it up. He's going to get paid pretty big. He really is. I mean, he's great, Claxton. That's the thing about the Nets right there. Over the last few years, they've been able to find really great centers, honestly. Great starting centers, I should say. You know, of course, when Brook Lopez was here all these years, and then they had Jared Allen, who was fucking great, and he's an all-star. He was an all-star last year in Cleveland. I still miss Jared Allen. I wish he was still here. You know, Claxton potentially could be an all-star this year. Potentially he could. Could be Defensive Player of the Year. You know, he's just fun to watch. You know, the one flaw that he has, which most centers do, is free throws. That's the one flaw that he has, but most centers have that. You know, he did kill us last year in the playoffs with, I think he had like 11 missed free throws in a row. You know, come playoff time, that's who they're going to foul. That's who they're going to foul. Like him and Simmons, if Simmons is still here, you know, that's who they're going to foul. You're going to foul the guy that's not making any free throws. That's what's going to happen. You know, I just read a little while ago before I started that the Nets are looking for, like, you know, a power forward type player, like a center, come a trade deadline. Trade deadline is next month. So, actually, no, is it next month? Because it usually is in February. Let me see actually when it is specifically. NBA trade deadline. It is on February 9th, so yeah, literally next month. We're getting close to it. We're getting pretty close. So we're a month away. I mean, there have been rumors of the Nets getting John Collins from the Atlanta Hawks. I'm not a huge fan of him, honestly. I think offensive-wise, he's good, but defensive-wise, he's not that great. That's the same thing with Miles Turner. I've kind of been a big fan of Miles Turner over the last couple years. Great. he is a good offensive big man, but it comes back to the defense. Defensively, I don't know, honestly. He's kind of a question mark. That's all I have to say. He's just a big question mark, honestly, when it comes to defense. That's just all I gotta say. You know, so I don't know what the Nets' plan is going to be. You know, people want Kuzma. I would like Kuzma, honestly. Very good three-point shooter. Great defender. I take him. I'll take Kuzma. But I don't know. It's hard to tell what the Nets are going to do. They have to make a move. They have to. They have to make a move. You need a big man. You do. If you're not going to play Sharp, which I really wish they would, because I like him. I know he has had his problems where he's gotten into foul trouble. I mean, so is Claxton, too. You know, yeah, it's not as bad as Sharp. I'm just saying. I'd like to see him get a chance. I honestly like to see Sharp get a chance. And that's all that I want. That's all I got to say. Let him go out there and give him a shot. Let's see what he can do. That's the thing about the Nets. You know, we really haven't seen a lot of the guys from last year that we saw last year. You know, like Kessler. Edwards has barely played this year. Cam Thomas has had his moments, but he's really been on the bench a lot. You know, De'Ron Sharp's another guy, too, like I mentioned. David Duke Jr., they really haven't played either. Well, they really haven't had to, because a lot of guys haven't been out. You know, granted, last year the Nets were dealing with a lot of injuries, so that makes sense. I would like to see Cam Thomas play a lot more, though, now that KD's hurt. Let Cam Thomas play. You know, and if there's really one guy I really don't like on the Nets other than Simmons, it's Joe Harris. I know Joe Harris has had his injuries the last couple years. I understand that. But he's just not the same player he used to be. He's a three-point merchant. That's what he is. Without his three-point game, he wouldn't be in the NBA. Let's keep it real. If Joe Harris didn't have a three-point game, he would not be in the NBA. Because that's what he is. He's a three-point merchant. That's all he is. He has no type of inside game. You know, at times he can make a layup or two. That's great. That's what you should be able to do. But, I mean, that's all he is, a three-point shooter. That's all that he is. You can't say the same for Seth Curry because he has a mid-range game. He has a pretty decent mid-range game. Like, a lot of people want Seth Curry gone. I mean, I understand why because his defense is not that good. But he's a lethal shooter. You have to keep Curry. And even Patty Mills has been playing. Granted, his defense is terrible, too. His defense is worse than Curry's, so it makes sense. But he's a pretty good shooter when he's out there. I think he's going to get waived pretty soon, Patty Mills. I think so. You know, Markieff Morris, that's another guy right there that hasn't played as much. I mean, you could say, granted, he really hasn't had to. But now, I think with KD hurt, you kind of need a big body out there. He's not as tall as KD, but he is a big body. You kind of need him out there. He's a good defender. You're going to need him out there for defense, especially against Boston. You're going to need him out there. You know, we know offensively he's not that good, but you're kind of going to need him out there now. And I will say a gem the Nets found, it has to be Royce O'Neal. He's got 2 game winners this year. I know he kind of has killed us a little bit at times. He went 0-9 against the Bulls back on Wednesday. I mean, that was pretty bad. He had no points at all. But defensively, his game has been pretty solid. Offensively, too, you know, he's not a bad three-point shooter. Other than that game on Wednesday against Chicago. But he's come up clutch. He had a game winner against Portland in November. He just hit that game-winning shot against Miami on Sunday. And they made a good defensive stop in the end to beat Miami. You know, he's been a huge part of this team, honestly. He really has. You know, other guys, too, that's been a huge part of this team has been Yuta Watanabe. Like, his game is kind of went down a little bit. You know, really hasn't had like the same magic he had the first couple months, but hopefully he does find it. I know he's kind of been dealing with injuries too here and there. That's another guy that's got to step it up now with KD hurt. But he has been a gem too, Yuta. I will admit that. He's been a gem. He really has. He's really found his game here in Brooklyn. He seriously has. He's been fun to watch. You know, who else out there? Who else am I forgetting? Well, Sumner, like I mentioned before, he's been really good, too. Another gem. TJ Warren, ever since he's come back, he came back from injury last month after not playing, I believe, in like 2 years. And he's been good. He's been good. He's a walking bucket, TJ Warren. He was a walking bucket out there in Indiana. He's been great here for the Nets. He really has. His defensive game is
I would say he's been decent. Offensively, I think his offensive game has been good. That's another guy that's going to step it up too when KD's, with KD being hurt. He's been really fun to watch as well. He really has. You know, you legit look at this team on paper right here. You legit look at this team on paper. They can go very far. I think they could go very far. But now Kyrie's got to carry the load now with KD being hurt. That's just how it is now. Kyrie's got to carry the load. He's got to turn into that number one guy temporarily. You know, can Kyrie lead these guys to victory? They did. He did back on Sunday. We'll admit that. Because the Nets were down by 9 points in the fourth quarter. You know, KD got hurt the quarter before. They were down by 9. I was like, oh, here we go. Now the Nets are going to collapse. They're going to go on a fucking huge losing streak like they did last year. Here we go again. But this team proved me wrong back on Sunday. They had a good comeback win. Everybody chipped in. Seth Curry was, I would say, our best guy out there. He was making every shot. Defensively, they got better. Made that huge stop in the end. Or even before that, when O'Neal made the basket in the end. And they got that huge stop to end the game. It was a great win. It was a great team win. Everybody stepped it up. Next man up right there. Or Nets man up, if you want to be corny, like I just did right there. But yeah. You know, I'm not too concerned with KD being out right now. Like I said, it's only 2 weeks. For right now, it's only 2 weeks. So we'll get reevaluated in 2 weeks. They said he was in good spirits, you know, Sunday night. So hopefully the reevaluation goes well in 2 weeks. And hopefully we can see him back on the court the first week of February. That's all you have to hope. But like I said, there's a lot of winnable games the rest of the way this month. There's a lot of winnable games. There's no excuses. You got to go out there and win. Losing to Boston, honestly, is an excuse. If you lose to Boston, you can't have any excuses. Because they're coming off a game the night before. They got to play New Orleans tomorrow, so you got to take advantage of that. They're going to be a little bit tired. So you got to take advantage of that. They're not going to rest their guys because, obviously, you know, they're trying to hold the number one spot. Especially if they lose tomorrow, well, you got to expect Tatum and Brown are going to play. They're not going to get rested. They're not going to get benched. It makes no sense. You know, Boston, they've lost to pretty bad teams. You know, they lost to the Magic twice, back-to-back. The fucking Magic, back-to-back. So the Celtics are beatable. Every team the Nets are playing right here the rest of the way, till KD comes back, these games are so winnable. There are no excuses at all. Winnable games. So many winnable games. No excuses. No excuses whatsoever. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it from anybody. But, you know, last couple things I'll say, this team has been very fun. Been very fun to watch ever since Nash, you know, got fired. You know, thank God that happened. Thank God Jock Vaughn took over. He's been the savior of this team. You know, a lot of guys on this team have stepped it up. Let's keep it going. I will say, though, since Vaughn took over defensively, they got better. Because when Nash was here, the first 7 games, they were atrocious defensively. Terrible. And listen, people were right, though, because before the season started, you know, the analysts, you know, were right, saying Steve Nash is going to be on the hot seat the first few games of the season. And he was, because he got fucking canned after they were doing 5. So thank God he's gone. Thank God Jock Vaughn has really saved this team right now. Just don't let up. I know KD's out. That's a huge, huge piece right there that we're going to be missing the next couple weeks. But you have a lot of winnable games. Go out there, win some ball games, and let's keep it rolling. Let's be in good shape when KD comes back. Simple as that. Let's fucking go. But now talk about my New York Islanders right here. So they started off the season. They started off a little bit slow. They worked 2-4. They pulled through towards the end of the month, winning some big games against the Rangers, the Hurricanes, and the Avalanche, especially that huge comeback win when they were down 3-0 against the Avalanche. They went on a nice winning streak. There was a 5-game winning streak going into November. They were playing good hockey. They really were. You know, November, they played really good hockey in November. They didn't play lackluster at all. They played really good hockey. They seriously did. They were in a nice stretch towards the end of the month. But December, from early to mid-December, they played like shit. End of December, they played really good. They won their last 3 against Florida, Pittsburgh, and Columbus. So far here in the new year, they're 1-3. They just went 1-3 on that 4-game road trip in Seattle, Vancouver, and Edmonton and Calgary. I mean, the only game they won was against Vancouver, which makes sense because Vancouver sucks, but they could have very much stolen a game or two out there as well. Another game or two out there. You know, they play the Dallas Stars tonight. Like I said, I'll be there tonight. They're 22, 17-2. So basically 22-19. I mean, I will say they have been better than expected. I will admit that they have been better than expected. They've been dealing with a lot of injuries too. You know, they lost Adam Pellick back in December. You know, we had the head injury. He's resumed skating though, which is really good. So he'll be back probably, if I had to guess, maybe the end of the month, early February, when they come back from the All-Star break. But maybe late next month he does come, late this month he probably comes back. So he resumed skating, I think, a few days ago. So hopefully we see him out there pretty soon. You know, Barzal was out for the game against Calgary. He's back in tonight. Simon Holmstrom's been out since they played the Panthers. He'll be back tonight. Oliver Wallstrom's been out since they played Pittsburgh. I don't think he's resumed skating just yet. Kyle Palmieri, who's been out since they played the Coyotes, he's been skating on his own. Doesn't look like he'll be back tonight. So I think he's just skating on his own. I don't think he's like a full on participant. You know, they got Varlamov back on Friday. It was a little bit shaky, but I think he'll be fine. Who else has been hurt? I'm forgetting any names. Well, Clutterbuck obviously came back on Thursday against Edmonton. You know, but you look at this team right here. So you look at the lines. You look at the lines for tonight. I'll read you the lines because these are the lines in practice yesterday. Let me pull it up real quick. It shouldn't take that long. Okay. So it does look like Ilya Sorokin is going to start tonight. We'll get to Sorokin a little bit because he has been really good this year. So you look at the Islanders' lines in practice. So these are the regular lines. For the offensive lines, you have Lee, Barzal, Holmstrom. Not a bad first line. Beauvillier, Nelson, Bailey. I can't say other than Bailey, because Beauvillier has been lackluster this year. You know, Brock Nelson's obviously been great. He's a fucking all-star. He's our only all-star so far. So he's obviously the best on that line. Beauvillier and Bailey, not good. Obviously, I'd take Beauvillier over Bailey, but Beauvillier should be better. Bailey fucking sucks. Third line, Parise, Pageau, Fashion. Parise at 38 years old, I think he has like 12 goals this season. He's been great. Doesn't miss a shift. Always plays hard. Love him. Pageau, great on the faceoffs. I feel like he could be a liability on offense at times, especially on the power play. The reason why they do have him out there on the power play is to win a faceoff. You know, I get it, but you could have Nelson do the faceoffs, honestly. Pageau just does nothing on the power play. I know he did score a power play goal against Vancouver, but it's fucking Vancouver. He just kind of stands around. This kid, Hudson Fashing, you know, he got called up last month. He's been a gem. He's been good. Had a lot of nice moments. He skates well. He's a good hockey player. And then you have the fourth line, Martin, Cizikas, Clutterbuck, the identity line. I mean, Martin's had a pretty solid season. He's been healthy. Cizikas, I think he was out for a couple games. Yeah, he was out for a couple games, Cizikas, but he's come back. He's been a gem his whole career. Clutterbuck, he's been on and off this year. I don't know. I guess looking back on it, they probably shouldn't have re-signed him. Let's be real, I guess. And so the D pairs are rotating with 7 defensemen. So we'll see what the defensive pairs look like tonight. You know, and when Pellick got hurt, I thought Robin Salo was going to step it up. Because Robin Salo actually started the season with the team. Because who was... Was somebody out to start the season? I'm trying to like remember. I think they had Aho as a 7th defenseman. Was somebody out? I'm trying to like remember. I don't think anybody was out. No, they just had him as a 6th guy. But Aho was a 7th defenseman. Actually, was he the 7th defenseman? I don't even think he was. I think it was like Ledoux was a 7th defenseman. Aho, I think, was out. And when Sal was up here the first 4 games in the season, I mean, he was okay. He wasn't playing that bad. He scored 2 goals against the Ducks in the second game of the season. He played pretty solid. And they sent him down and brought in Aho, and I was like, okay. And Aho played like shit, but recently Aho has played better. And then Salo stepped up for Pelic when Pelic got hurt. Or actually, when he stepped in, I should say. He didn't really step it up. But when Salo got put in for Pelic, after Pelic went down, first couple games he was okay, but then he started to struggle. And then when they had that game against the Rangers, and oh my god, did he play terrible. He's been benched ever since. They called up Parker Weatherspoon. So he's been playing ever since the Panthers game. He's been good, honestly. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Pelic, you know, defensively. He's good. He got his first career point in his hometown of Vancouver back on Tuesday, so last Tuesday, so you can't write that any better. So he honestly hasn't been too bad, you know. He's definitely going to play at least a few more games until Pelic gets back out there. Defensively-wise, this team has been bad recently. When you want to look at it, defensively, they have not been good. That's the one thing they have to adjust. They have not been good defensively. They really haven't. I mean, who's our best defensive player right now? It's Dobson. Dobson's our best defensive guy. You know, Dobson offensively has been good defensively. Still needs a little bit more work, but he's gotten better. You know, Sebastian Aho, I have to admit, defensively, he kind of has gotten a little bit better. He is more of an offensive defenseman. But defensively, he really hasn't been terrible recently. Mayfield, he's been turning over the puck a lot. You know, I like Scotty. He's great defensively, but he has a lot of turnovers. That's killed us. You know, Weatherspoon, you know, he's a rookie. You know, he hasn't been too bad, honestly. For a rookie, he hasn't been all that bad. Pollock, I don't know what to say about Pollock. His game has really went down, honestly. He's not the same player he used to be like a couple years ago. He's kind of went down. He's kind of downgraded. Romanoff, I love Romanoff. Romanoff is great. He's a fucking gritty defenseman. That was a good move by Lou. Was he worth a first rounder? I don't know if I'd say that, but you know, he has been good. He really has been. So I don't think they'll make a move on defense when it comes to trade deadline. Trade deadline, I believe, is in March, so you got a long way until that happens, but you can still make a trade from now to then. You know you're gonna get Pelic back. When he does come back, it should be the end of the month when you want to look at it. So you'll get him back in there. So defensively, I think they'll be fine when Pelic gets back in there. He's kind of like the glue on that defense when you want to think about it. Offensive-wise, the team has to get better. They do. They have to get better because Josh Bailey's not cutting it anymore. He has been cutting it for so long. And now you look at the Islanders' power play unit. You look at their power play unit right here. Two of the power play units. Their power play has been atrocious this year. So, their first unit is Lee, Barzal, Pageau, Nelson, Dobson. That's basically been the first unit the whole season. The second unit, they've turned it around. You got Parise, Pollock, Beauvillier, Bailey, and fucking Aho. I mean, now since you're not playing Ratu right now, why not put Fasching or Holmstrom on that second unit? Give them a shot. Just saying. This kid Ratu, who's got two career goals so far in his first few games. I was there against the Panthers when he scored his first career goal in his first career game. Now he's not playing. He did play against Calgary because Barzal was hurt, but now he's not playing tonight unless they make a change. But right now it doesn't look like he's going to play. Like, why is he not playing? Play him over Bailey. Make him a winger. You can't make the guy a winger or something? Rotate him and Nelson. Or if I put him on Pageau's line, rotate him and Pageau with the face-offs. Just rotate it. This kid deserves to play. Put Fasching with Beauvillier and Nelson. This kid Ratu deserves to play. Bailey does not. Doesn't deserve to play at all. I don't know what they still see in Josh Bailey. I really don't get it. He should not be playing over a guy like Ratu. I know he's not. I know Ratu's a center, but then rotate it. Rotate him and Pageau. That's it. That's all you gotta do. Or put Cizikas on the third line, like they did. Do that then. Or put Cizikas with Beauvillier and Nelson. That could work. Give that a chance. I mean, come on here. I mean, hopefully when Paul Mary comes back, hopefully he performs, because he was performing before he got hurt. He got hurt against Toronto back in November. Then he came back against Arizona, and then he got hurt right away. So hopefully when he comes back, hopefully he performs. Because like I said, he was performing before he went down. You gotta hope that he does. I don't know. I mean, there are a lot of guys out there for the Islanders that they can get. But before we get to that, the best part of the New York Islanders season has been Ilya Sorokin. I mean, he had that a little bit of a bad stretch back in December where he was getting torched a lot. But ever since then, he's found it. Since they played, you could say Colorado, he really found it. Since that game, he's been great. Since that game, he has been really good. The fact that he's not an all-star yet, I mean, he could still get voted in. You know, because the Metro does need two goaltenders, so Shesterkin's already the first Metro goaltender in, so we'll see if Sorokin gets in. There's other guys up there, too, for the all-star game. There's Lee, Barzal, and Dobby. I think Dobby gets in. Dobby should get in, honestly. He's been one of the best defensemen in the NHL. Barzal, he got to a slow start. So I think because of a slow start, he won't get in, but he's really been one of our best players, Barzal. He's been scoring in every game, except, of course, against Calgary, he didn't play. But ever since then, ever since they played, who was it? I think it was either Florida or Pittsburgh. He's been on a goal streak. He's been fucking scoring. That's exactly what I want to see out of Barzal. He's got to score. He's been shooting the puck more. Love to see it. As Barzal has such a great shot. I'm happy that he's fucking utilizing that shot. I mean, I understand this team has been in a bad stretch. They've been in a bad stretch for a while. I mean, they had that nice three-game winning streak to end off the year. But now they're in a bad stretch starting off the new year. And the thing about the Islanders is, it's good that they're home. They have a five-game homestand right here. They got the Stars tonight. They got the Wild Thursday. And they have the Canadiens on Saturday. And then next Monday, they got the Caps. And then the Bruins next Wednesday. So I'll be at that game, too, against Boston. You know, these games are very winnable. The Stars, you can beat them. I know they're the number one team in their division, but you can beat them. The Wild, they're kind of whatever. The Canadiens, they're not that good. They just got shut out by the Kraken last night. The Capitals, division rival, but beatable. And the Bruins, they have struggled on the road a little bit. That's where majority of their losses have come from, on the road. So, and they lost twice at UBS last year, so you can get them. And then after they play Boston, the rest of the way, they go to Buffalo the next night. Then they're home against Carolina. Then they go to Toronto and Ottawa. And then they have a back-to-back at home before the All-Star break against Detroit and Vegas. So you look at those games, Buffalo's beatable. They just got shut out by fucking Philly last night. So you could beat them. Carolina, they've beaten already this year. They're 1-1 against them. Toronto, they beat in overtime back in November. Ottawa, they beat back in November. Detroit, they got shut out by them in November, you know, but Detroit did lose in UBS last year. And Vegas, they beat back in December. So you got a lot of winnable games. You really do. The Islanders, and a lot of these games are at home. So you only have, what is it, three road games? You go to Buffalo, Toronto, and Ottawa. So you only have three road games the rest of the way. So you're going to be at home a majority for the rest of this month. That's good. That's really good. Even when you go to Buffalo, you're only traveling upstate, then you come right back to play Carolina at home. You're not traveling very far. So they're going to be in their homes for quite a while. Till they have to go to Toronto. So that's good. That is very, very good. So they'll be fresh now for the rest of the way. They've had 3 days off. They've been off since Friday night if they played Calgary, so they've had off since since Saturday. Had 3 days off, so you've had a lot of rest. Let's go now. Now it's time. It's time to get hot. It's make or break now. This five-game homestand is make or break. You can't play mediocre. I understand there are still guys that are hurt. You got to step it up. These guys got to step it up. That's it. Make a statement tonight against Dallas. Because right now you're out of a playoff spot. But obviously if the Islanders win tonight and Pittsburgh loses, we get back in. So the reason why Pittsburgh's ahead of us, we have more wins, but we have more losses than them. So that's why Pittsburgh's ahead of us. We still have the same amount of points. But the Islanders aren't too far behind a lot of teams in the Metro. When you want to look at the Metro right now, they're not behind a lot of teams when it comes to points. Like, point-wise, they're not, other than Carolina, who's got 57. So you're tied with Pittsburgh at 46 points. The Rangers have 51 points, Capitals have 52, and the Devils have 53. So it's not a bad point difference. It's really not. Carolina's got 57, that's 11 points, but you could still very much catch up. If Carolina, you know, goes in a bad slump, you can catch up to them. You really could. You seriously, seriously could. So the Devils play Carolina tonight, so you kind of want Carolina to win so you can catch the Devils first. Because if we win, the Devils lose in regulation. Okay, it turns to 5 points. So there you go. And the Devils don't play on Thursday. That could turn into 3 points. Because the Islanders have been a really good home team this year. They've played really good at home. That's been the best part of them this year. Other than Ilya Sorokin, who's been fucking phenomenal in fucking goaltending this year. At home, this team has been really good. They've been one of the best home teams, I'd say, in the league, honestly. They really have. You know, the fans obviously have brought the energy. I bring the energy every time I go. I'll bring it tonight and Thursday and next Wednesday, of course. And I'll be there against Detroit as well for the John Tinelli bobblehead night. And, of course, next Wednesday is Bobby Nystrom bobblehead night, so I'm sure Bobby and Mr. Ireland will be there. And I'm sure JT, the real JT, John Tinelli, will be there on the 27th. You know, it's time to get hot right now. You're in a nice stretch. And even when you go on the road, like, Buffalo is very beatable. And Toronto and Ottawa, they beat them in their homes. The Islanders beat Toronto and Ottawa in their homes. Do it again. I'm not saying the Islanders are going to go undefeated the rest of the way this month. It's possible. Who says it can't happen? They just have to get better. They got to play better. Period. That's it. And when it comes to the trade deadline, what the Islanders should do, you need a goal scorer. That's obvious. You know, you got this fucking kid, Bo Horvat, out there in Vancouver. I know he'd be a rental because he only has 1 year left on his deal. It's just this year. I think he has like around almost 30 goals now this season. He scored 2 goals against us back on Tuesday last week. I trade for him. Patty Kane's available too. I know he's older. He's really not the same player, honestly, but you get him on a line with Barzal, maybe it works. Bring him over. Gotta get somebody. At least he's got the experience. He's been in 3 Stanley Cups. Yeah, Horvat's got experience too. Not Stanley Cup experience, obviously, but great goal scorer. You gotta get somebody. You have to do it. You can't stand pat the trade deadline, because I think the Islanders will be in a playoff spot come the trade deadline. Because I think they're going to get hot right now. You know, this homestand will definitely tell if they're going to get hot or not. And they should. You're at home. You've played good on home ice this season. All right, here you go now. It's right in front of you. I know there are some tough teams right here. There are some tough teams. You got to beat them. No excuses. You got to beat them. I know they played Dallas early on in the season back in November. They lost 5-2. Give redemption. You beat them last year at UBS. Let's go. Beat them this time. Let's go. That's what you got to do. No excuses going forward. You know, you're going to be getting your guys back pretty soon. And, of course, Wallstrom, he'll come back pretty soon. He hasn't resumed skating just yet, I believe. But you'll get him back in there pretty soon. You got to work with the guys you have right now. Because Hudson Fashing's really proved himself. He really has proved himself. He's a good hockey player. He's making a case to stay in the lineup. He really is. Holmstrom, too, even when he was playing, this will be his first game back since he got hurt against Florida. He's played good, too, Holmstrom. He really has. He's played good. He's proved himself. So let's see what we can do. I personally would still play Ratu tonight. I would bench Bailey. I don't care he's the longest tenured Islander. He's not good. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't do jack shit. He just stands there. He doesn't do anything. Play this kid Ratu, man. The fact that he only played 6 minutes against Vancouver, like, are you kidding me? Come on, is Lambert going to be like Barry Trotz right here where he's not going to play the young guys? You got to let the young guys play, or else you're going to fuck with their confidence. That's what I'm saying. You got to play them.
They have to get that experience out there. They're going to have, you're going to have your rookie woes. It's going to happen. It's called a growth spurt. It happens. You know, like, let's say if Ratu plays tonight and he fucks up a little bit, you got to give him another chance. He's still young. He's going to fuck up. It happens. It's just how it is. I doubt he's going to play tonight because they're not going to bench Bailey. They're not going to do it. Guy's been one of the lackluster players on this team for so many years now. Doesn't get benched. Actually, we got benched back in October. Oh, wow. One game, he got benched. After that, what'd he do? Actually, well, granted, he actually did score in the next couple games. He did score against the Rangers and the fucking Hurricanes. They scored 2 goals against the Hurricanes, I believe. Whatever it was. Maybe benching will work. I don't fucking know, honestly. But I know UBS will be rocking tonight like it has been the whole season. Let's go out there and kick some ass now. It's our first game at home in the new year. Let's go. Let's beat Dallas. They are beatable. I've always said if a team has losses on their record, they're beatable. You can beat them. Doesn't matter how good they are. Doesn't matter what the talent they have. I know this kid Jason Robertson is one of the best players in the league right now. He's got 28 goals. But you can beat them. They have losses on their record, right? Okay, you can beat them. They've lost. They've lost games. Am I correct? Okay. Beat them. They've been beaten before. Go out there and win. Simple as that. It's not impossible. Not impossible at all. Go out there, play New York Islanders hockey, play hard, play gritty, play tough. Start a fight to start the game. Start a fight. Send a message right away. Get into a fight to start the game. Sure you're not going to be pushed around. Do that. That's what they should do. Show some fight urgency. There's no reason to be gassed going into this game. You've got 3 days off. Let's go. And you're going to be home for the next couple weeks. You're going to be in the New York area for the next couple weeks. So, no excuses. Kick ass tonight. Let's fucking go. You know, if you had to ask me how Lambert's done as a head coach, I mean, honestly, you look at the record, it's better than I expected. Because he's a rookie head coach. He's done better than I expected, honestly. I will admit that. And when he adjusted the lines against Vancouver, it worked. Because they were miserable in that first period against Vancouver last Tuesday. He adjusted the lines, they scored 6 goals. So that works. Okay, good. Sometimes adjusting the lines does work. You can't do it every game. That's what Doug Wade was doing in his first full year as a head coach. He was changing the lines every game. Every game, mid-game, he was changing. It wasn't working. You got to do it at least once in a while. Like, if the team is really playing like shit to begin with, you got to change it. We'll see how they play tonight. We'll see how they play tonight. You know, I think tonight will tell how they're going to play on this homestand. I think they'll be fine, honestly. I know there's a lot of tough games on this homestand, but you got to go out there and just play Islanders hockey, and let's win. Just win. Simple as that. Like, let's go. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. But, you know, both my teams right here, my Nets and my Islanders, I believe they both will go to the playoffs. But they need to make moves down the line. Like, the Nets need another big man, and the Islanders need a goal scorer. And another thing with the Islanders is, like I wanted to bring up, their power play has been atrocious. It really has been. With all the talent, and the Islanders do have talent out there. With all the talent they have, they can't score on a power play. They do the same shit on the power play. Anytime the puck gets clear, they're always passing backwards. They do the same bullshit. It's so predictable. You don't even have to watch film to see what they're going to do on the power play. They do the same fucking shit. Just shoot the puck. I know you're trying to set up everything, trying to set up a play, but just shoot the puck. Throw the puck to the net. Maybe Lee will tip it in, or somebody else will tip it in. You'll get a rebound, and you'll score. Or maybe if Dobby's shooting from the point, maybe he'll go in. Take a chance. You don't know until you take a chance. You can't hold on to the puck for too long. You gotta shoot the puck. You gotta shoot it more. Butchie says it every game. You gotta shoot the puck. You gotta shoot it. You can't look for a lane every time. Just throw it to the net. Maybe get a juicy rebound. Maybe the goaltender doesn't see it. Just saying. But the Islanders' penalty kill has been really good this year. On the road, it hasn't been as great as it has been at home. That's expected, though. We expect that, honestly. But their PK has been really good the whole season. It really has been. But the power play's got to step it up. That's the one big flaw that's really kind of has cost him a lot of games. The power play hasn't done anything. It really hasn't. The power play's been terrible. Make a statement tonight. You get a power play tonight, score on that first power play. Make a statement. Win the faceoff, shoot the puck right away. If Pajot wins the faceoff, and let's say Nelson's right next to him, get it to fucking Dobby, let it fly. Just let it fly. Take the shot, let's see what happens. You miss, okay, you take the shot. If you might as well, as long as you take the shot, that's it. Just shoot the puck. That's all you gotta do. That's effort. Don't hold on to it for too long. That's all I'm trying to say. But alright guys, I hope you guys enjoy this episode right here. We'll see what happens with the Nets and the Islanders going forward. You know, for the rest of the month, hopefully, when both teams go into their respective, you know, all-star breaks, that they're in really good shape. I believe they will be, though. You know, if you had to ask me, I think they will be. But I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Enjoy the rest of your day. And I will talk to you guys on Saturday morning to make my wild card predictions. It should be something. It should be something. But again, guys, enjoy the rest of your day. And I will talk to you guys on Saturday. Talk to you then, guys.